This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It's hour number three of our get together, the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. The Bob Rose Golf Scramble is sold out. Thank you for your continued support. It's the 27th annual Bob Rose Golf Scramble at Hawkstone Golf and Country Club, Friday, April 4th. Now, we could use some volunteers. If you're free on Friday, April 4th, during the day, probably have to be there about 11:30, plan on staying until about 5:30. If you can do something like that, please give my friend Mark Johnson a call at the ARC of Alachua County at 352-246-3516. This is going to be a great tournament. Southeast Car Agency supplying us with a car for the hole-in-one, a luxury vacation with cruise planners, and Brandon Kuttner. But the most important thing is the amount of money we're able to raise that goes directly to the ARC of Alachua County and the fine work they do for the developmentally disabled. So thanks for your unbelievable and incredible support. We're sold out. We could use volunteers. And if you have got the time, we'd love to have you out there. Okay. Thanks again. Thanks in advance. You know, I don't know. Right off the bat, I'll tell you, I don't know much about a cryptocurrency. And part of it is because when you get to this age, you don't like any word to start with, you know, the word crypt. I'm just saying.
That's a perspective, yes.
Yeah.
I get that.
But listen to this, because I know a lot of people are into it. They like it. They've invested in it. State-backed North Korea hackers have stolen $1.5 billion, that's with a B, $1.5 billion of cryptocurrency in the largest heist in history. Agents from Pyongyang were able to breached the systems of Dubai-based exchange Bybit to steal the digital coin Ether. This is according to security analysis. The hackers stole more cryptocurrency in one attack than all the funds stolen by North Korea cyber criminals in the previous year.
Wow.
But that was still a lot. That's $1.3 billion. Now, there were several attacks to get that amount of money, but that's still a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? How? Where do you get any sort of feeling of safety when North Korea is doing this? And can anybody stop them? I think if they could, they would have already, right? I mean, how much do you have to steal before someone goes, you know what? Yeah. Up to like $5 billion now. I'm just thinking, you know, we probably should at least attempt some sort of action. I don't know what you can do.
Well, let me ask you then, does this give you any solace in knowing that the powers that be want us to go to an all-digital world?
Well, I think that it definitely, this information helps the people that are siding on the side of, hell no, we won't go into that, you know, all-digital world monetarily. Yeah. I don't think it's in our best interest. Look, I've talked about it before. We rely way too much on the digital world as it is right now. We need the cell signals. You've got a satellite transmissions. You've got all these things, but you don't really have true redundancy. I mean, most people don't even have a landline anymore.
No.
And you can see it like when somebody steals your identity.
Oh, what a hassle
that is. What a nightmare that turns out to be for the people that are the victims. And, you know, we're told, oh, you get the app. Oh, you can do all your banking online. Oh, you can do this, you can do that. You've got a lot of sensitive private information that is out there. And if these folks from Pyongyang, from North Korea, if they can break into these things, and apparently they are pretty sophisticated, if they can break in and steal $1.5 billion, what the heck are you going to do to keep them out of your stuff?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Now, when they have big targets that they can go after, yeah, why waste time with the, you know, the pittance and paltry amount of money you could get from the average American?
But yeah, they don't need you when they're going to Dubai, just saying. Yeah.
And again, I mean, I'll sound the warning, you know, too much reliance on the digital world is going to come back and haunt us. I truly believe that. And this is another example, but the cryptocurrency, again, I don't know enough about it to say cryptocurrency good or bad, but we can absolutely say cryptocurrency, can it be hacked into and stolen from? And the answer clearly is a yes. And yes, it absolutely has occurred multiple times. Saddam Hussein, back in the day, stole $1 billion from the Iraqi Central Bank ahead of the Iraq War in 2003. But when you're in a, you know, a spider hole,
yeah,
there's not a lot of shopping there. There's no Saks Fifth Avenue there.
Apparently, he couldn't even afford a comb just from the last picture we saw of him. So,
yeah,
just saying.
Yeah, and but anyway, he was able to do that. But this is North Korea. And you know they're up to no good. And they're constantly, you know, doing the saber rattling and all that. So what are we going to do about it? They don't have really any sort of economy. But if you keep pumping money into it by, you know, via their hackers, I guess they can stay afloat.
We know they spend money on things like bombs, rockets, those kind of things.
Chainalysis said the attack served as a stark reminder of the advanced tactics employed by the country's hackers, as well as technical skills. North Korean hackers are adept at what is known as social engineering, manipulating people to do what they want in order to pave the way for a heist. This can involve developing relationships with targets over email and digital chats, sometimes over a period of months. So they're patient with it. You don't know the sources of things that you get.
No.
I had a friend, he goes, yeah, I've been chatting with this girl from Ukraine.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I'm headed to Mexico. I invited her to join me. She says she might. I looked at the picture. It's like, nothing against you personally, but I don't think that this is for real. I go, you know, there's somebody in the, you know, in the basement in Russia or North Korea or Iran that's, you know, laughing right now. And he didn't like that. He was quite sure,
right,
that it was, that she's the real deal.
That's sad.
But if she is, God bless him.
Yeah.
I doubt that's the case. And that's what they do. People are roped in all the time by plenty of people that aren't all that sophisticated. Well, just think about it. If you've got these people who are experts in the cyber criminal activity, you've got to be on the alert all the time. And that cryptocurrency, I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I can tell you right there, based on this report, there definitely is vulnerability there. But maybe you could say, well, guess what? All of our assets are vulnerable in one way or another. Well, I guess that there's truth to that as well. How vulnerable is Taiwan? Well, apparently, China decided to do some live fire drills. They never bothered to give them a ring-a-ding-ding and let them know.
Whoops.
So, yeah, they went into semi-strategic panic mode. I'll explain coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:15, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Hey, Tony, you got $5 million? I could get me a Trump gold card. It is 8:19 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Oh, my. It's going to be another awesome day. It is absolutely gorgeous. Love it. Hope you get a chance to enjoy some of it. Grab that sunshine and that fresh air.
Says the captain of Yacht Rock with his boating little time on the lake yesterday.
So nice.
Well, got his captain's hat on. Yeah.
But you know what? What's up? Get up at, you know, dark 30, 3 o'clock hour,
yes,
you know, every day, it is nice to say, well, there are some advantages to getting started that early because you could be out on the lake during a beautiful afternoon. So, yeah, my advice, though, is get that fresh air, some sunshine, take it all in. It's good. It is good for you.
Well,
now, you have to protect yourself and take care of your skin, which is why later on, and this is a public service announcement, I will be getting thoroughly checked out by Dr. Coffin.
Mm-hmm.
She will go through me meticulously and make sure that I have nothing on my skin that appears to be morphing into something dangerous.
Yes. And that does happen.
Well, look, it is Florida. You got to get taken care of.
Yeah.
Well, look, Betsy's brother had a mole, and I think she said something about it last time he was here on his face, and he goes, I just had it checked out. Well, that was probably a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
he just had it checked out. Guess what? And now he's got a huge scar on his face,
goodness.
And they took out, like, it's like an inch wide and 4.5 inches long.
Wow.
Yeah, when you get one of those things, you got a tiny little thing on the surface, man, they got to go digging deep sometimes.
Mm.
So my advice is, you know, don't fool around and don't keep putting it off. This is something that's so easy. And have somebody check you. Now, a check is not a 100% guarantee, but it sure helps to push the odds in your favor, especially if you've got something that, you know, I've been keeping an eye on that. And
it's changing.
That ain't right. Yeah. And a lot of times the weirdest looking stuff is not a problem.
Right.
And some stuff that you go, yeah, that's no big deal. I've had that for a while. It turns out to be.
Mm-hmm.
These people, that's what they look at all day long, is these different cancer cell things. Well, that's what my daughter does. I mean, she works at Moffitt Cancer Clinic in the dermatology department. And so, yeah. She can tell you what the cancerous stuff looks like. Yeah. It is 8:22 on the Bob Rose Show. You're living right next to China, and you know China wants to literally own your butt.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, live fire is going on. So the folks in Taiwan they hopped into action.
If you're Taiwan, you're going to react if you don't have any idea what's going on.
Taiwan's defense ministry scrambled land, air, and sea forces on Wednesday after Chinese ships launched live fire exercises near the Taiwanese coast without warning. Usually you give the other countries in the area, you know, kind of a heads up.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing some military exercises out here. No reason to get all excited, but you're going to hear some stuff.
But this is China. And Taiwan.
Yep. This move not only poses a high risk to the navigation safety of international flights and ships at sea, but it's also a blatant provocation to regional security and stability. That's the statement the Taiwanese Defense Ministry put out. The drill began early Wednesday morning about 40 nautical miles off the coast from Taiwan, and that is the largest port where they were and a hub for global shipping. So yeah, they're
40 miles, that's not very far.
Yeah, they're playing a game, you know, a drill, an exercise, and they are definitely also playing a game, you know, with with the minds of the folks in Taiwan, the People's Liberation Army, which we don't hear enough about. You always hear about the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, but it's really the People's Liberation Army, the PLA, that side of it, if you will, that side of the government, that's the one where they're the most dangerous, they're the most hardcore, generally, in their, like, philosophies, and they're the ones that it's much harder to identify the chain of command and who's who, and very, very tight on that one. Communist Party, yeah, we know who the president is. We know all the other top players, so to speak, but not on the PLA side, not on the actual military side.
The ones that pull the strings.
Oh, and the ones that have the firepower to back it up. The People's Liberation Army, PLA, of China gave no advance notice of the drill. It involved multiple surface vessels, plus at least 32 combat aircraft, 22 of which flew into Taiwan's air defense identification zone. The PLA gave only a terse radio warning to ships in the area that shooting training was about to begin. The Chinese warships swiftly departed the area after the drill was completed. The defense ministry said China blatantly violated international norms by unilaterally restricting sea and airspace for a live fire exercise without advance notice. And yeah, that's what they do. And that's why we have to be vigilant when it comes to dealing with China. And we haven't been, under the Biden administration especially. We have to take them very, very seriously. And I know President Trump and his administration will. Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post. You know, he owns it. He owns a lot of things. But apparently an opinion editor that works at the Washington Post has quit. David Shipley resigned Tuesday after the paper's owner, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, announced that going forward on the opinion pages, we are going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars, personal liberties and free markets. That doesn't seem to be a problem. Aren't these two pillars that American society and our government supports? Personal liberties. I mean, individual freedoms. That's one of the things that separates us from most of the rest of the world, that we're protected, our individual rights, not as any sort of group, but as an individual. So that sounds like a no-brainer. And then free markets. Well, of course you'd want free markets, right? Competition usually makes better prices and improvements so that consumers can enjoy the products. Bezos made the announcement to the Post on Tuesday. Now, we'll cover other topics too, of course, he added, but viewpoints opposing those pillars will be left to be published by others. So they don't want anything that would be an attack on personal liberties and free markets.
Who could have a problem with that?
He said, I am of America and for America and proud to be so. Our country did not get here by being typical, Bezos went on, and a big part of America's success has been freedom in the economic realm and everywhere else. He said freedom is ethical. It minimizes coercion and practical. It drives creativity, invention, and prosperity. Yeah, he's absolutely right. Would he come to these same conclusions and be so outspoken about it if Trump were not in office?
He didn't for the last few years.
So, interesting, isn't it? It's 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a lot more to talk about. Also, the Bob Rose Show podcast, available where you normally get your podcast, or on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. Happy Thursday, 97.3 The Sky. Dude, is it Friday yet, man? Is it Friday yet, man?
It's so close.
I'm getting in that mindset where I'm just going to crank up the Yacht Rock, man. It's called a weekend. Pro-am.
A little Christopher Cross.
Sailing.
A little Michael McDonald. Yeah.
Can you do a Michael McDonald impersonation?
I can't forget when I'm in love anymore. How's that?
Wow. That was good.
Was it? Okay.
I was preparing myself to be impressed. You blew me away, Greg. That's why I'm not afraid to throw these things out there at you. Now, you don't always win.
And I may be afraid.
Sometimes you fall a bit short, as we all do. But that was good.
Thank you.
That was good. He does have a very recognizable sound, for sure.
Yes.
And he's on a million records.
Oh, there's a great video out there you need to check out about the 70s and 80s, about that exact topic. Things you had no clue he was on, he's there or influencing.
Are you talking about there actually is a Yacht Rock documentary. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, I did not watch the Yacht Rock documentary.
Oh, because he's featured in it quite a bit.
Okay, this is specifically about Michael McDonald and songs he's on that you probably didn't realize.
You've heard of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? How we're all kind of related. Seven? Mm-hmm. Is it seven now?
I think it is.
Pretty soon it'll be eight. But but Michael McDonald, could do the same thing in music. That Yacht Rock documentary was interesting on a lot of different levels. And yes, I learned a lot from it. And this is coming from a guy who was in music radio for a long time before I did talk radio.
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting behind the scenes. A lot of the musicians that play on a lot of different records.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, genres you would... No, you're not on that record if you're playing this. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Believe it or not, they were,
Well, there was a time when that's all you did, basically, was you had a studio band, you recorded the hit, you were the person in the, you know, you were the front man or woman.
And then you had your band that traveled with you.
Right.
But the good ones were in the studio.
Exactly, so. Because why were they so good? Because that's all they did. All day, every day, was do studio work, whereas the guys out on the road, they do a gig, try to get some sleep, drive, get to the next gig,
the
and
songs.
Do it all over again. They're, they don't progress as quickly. They progress, clearly just playing, but not like those studio folks do.
Right.
They get very, very creative. And yeah, it's I think it's interesting. Also, I have to recommend a documentary that's about Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And so many people recorded there. And believe it or not, like Aretha Franklin, like her contract was running out. She wasn't panning out. But if you can believe it, the Queen of Soul,
really,
in the early years, went down to Muscle Shoals and cut number one hit, and the rest is history.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised, people there.
I think it's
Leonard Skinner has connections there.
Really? I think maybe it's watered down a little bit, especially when you compare, say, L.A. and Nashville. But used to, if you had depending what kind of band you were, and you wanted to go to one of those cities because the production was just different. There's the Nashville sound. There's L.A. There's New York. There's Muscle Shoals. Like I said, I think it's watered a little bit, but there's still a bit of that out there because of just the feel of where you're at and how they think in putting music together.
Well, and musicians in general are so far advanced. Many of them start young.
Yeah.
You get so many people that are just completely gifted, and they go into that. And the bands really picked it up where the bands themselves would go in and record because they were so good. Or they were studio musicians like the band Toto.
Yes.
Those guys already had their chops down for
and
sure.
And became a band.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then they could take off when they wanted and do studio work if they wanted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell was one of those guys. He was on a lot of stuff. Beach Boys, I mean, you name it. You think of him as just, you know, the country stuff, lineman, you know, rhinestone cowboy, whatever. He could play things with strings on him.
You had something about a lineman competition in Ocala.
Oh, yeah.
Did you send me that?
I think I emailed it to you.
All right, let me see.
I think that's coming up this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You know, that's a crew, pun intended, that we respect here in Florida. You know, hurricane season, the whole bit. I mean, these folks really know their stuff, and it's not a job everybody can do.
Did you send it to me today?
I did. That was like, so it would be at the top of your list.
Yeah,
but that was like a few hours ago.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's refreshed.
Well, you know, there's that.
You got to keep it fresh.
When it comes to email, Bob and email, you know.
Well, here's part of the issue. Mm-hmm. All of our stuff goes through corporate headquarters in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, and that slows the process down, and they have about a million firewalls and
yes,
other things. So, yes, it's highly protected and for good reason.
Yeah.
But, no, I still don't. I don't see it, but I did write a note about the Ocala lineman competition.
All right, here you go.
That is coming up.
It's coming to you.
Oh, you just sent it to me?
Again, yep.
We'll see the speed of the internet.
I mean, it's digital, and it's only got to travel like 4 feet here.
No, I told you, it's got to go all the way to Pennsylvania and back.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's why we're...
Yeah, the first one was like 5:15 this morning. Now you got one coming now. Lineman competition.
Mm-hmm. 5:15. Oh, okay. It said Tammy on it. That's what messed me up.
That's who sent it to me.
Gotcha. Okay, now
thanks,
I have
Tammy.
It.
Appreciate it.
Oh, I put this on the printer, but I don't know if it printed because it's in flyer form.
Mm.
2025, the Florida Lineman Competition, Safety Excellence Honor, World Equestrian Center, Saturday, March 1. So according to my calculations, that's this Saturday.
There you go.
Let me see if I can... No, I was looking for the... like a written up here. The Florida Lineman Competition is an event in which utility line workers from across the state compete as teams. They demonstrate their skills and knowledge in a fun, safe environment. Yes, live electricity will not be used during this competition.
That's good to know.
And nobody will be allowed in the competition from Wichita. It wouldn't be fair. Because they have more experience because they're always on the line.
Wow.
Isn't that what he said? That's a great song. You should play that song if we have it.
I played it.
See if you
can
dig that up.
Yeah.
That is, talk about evoking like emotion in that song. And remember, Glenn Campbell, he toured with the Beach Boys for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He took Brian Wilson's spot for a while. So, yeah, he was very accomplished in his work. Uh-oh. Technology rears its ugly head. Do we have the legal rights to play? There you go.
I mean, doesn't that just take you back to a whole different era and a part of your life?
A wee child.
I'm a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
That's why they couldn't come to the competition.
Oh, yeah.
They're still on the line.
Yeah.
They're still
on
the rest
hold.
Of the linemen will be competing. And that is this Saturday. It begins at 7:30 a.m. at the World Equestrian Center. For more information, go to flpublicpower.com. flpublicpower.com.
Him and Jimmy Webb. Jimmy is actually who wrote so many of those hits for Glenn. But it's amazing how you can get an artist and a songwriter, and they just click. Kind of like the Bernie Taupin, you know.
And Jimmy Webb wasn't his brother was on Dragnet. His brother Jack.
Wow.
No?
I doubt it. Elton John was who I was trying to say with Bernie
just
Taupin.
The facts, ma'am.
Just the facts.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Oh, my
wow.
Goodness.
We're doing things that kind of date us a little bit.
Yeah. Even got a text from somebody who shall remain nameless who works at a country station and really loving the country music moment that we're experiencing.
Will
right
he give
now.
Us a shout out at like 12:30 if it's our birthday? Is it that guy?
It's that guy. I bet he would.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Morning, sir. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What information will be released? And will any of it be actionable? We're talking about Jeffrey Epstein, the client list, and there's a lot of other information, but the client list could come out today. Pam Bondi has said pretty much that. Senator Marsha Blackburn has advocated for the administration to release the full unredacted records related to sexual predator and financier Jeffrey Epstein, as AG Pam Bondi now says the Department of Justice could release the records Thursday, which is today.
But here's the caveat, and you kind of mentioned this once before. Just because you show up on the list once as taking a flight doesn't mean you did anything wrong. But if we see that, you know, you went to the island 17 times, there could be a pattern of something.
You're talking about the difference between a Trump and a Clinton.
Yes.
Yes.
That's,
yeah, that's my understanding.
Because just about everybody took a flight with this guy at some point. Who anybody who was anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, until you know what the guy's up to, if you haven't heard it from somebody else, and the kind of people that might know what was going on might also want to keep tight-lipped about it.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know, and then all of a sudden you get this creepy feeling. You go, it's that kind of place.
Is there a story in my mind that's right, and you can, we'll see if I'm, didn't Trump actually, like, kick him out or maybe ban
him? He kicked him out of the club because there were allegations that he was hitting on one of the girls that was working there. And Trump, I think, was friends with her parents. They were members of the club. And she was like a waitress or something. And she was 17 or 18, something like that. She was young.
So he
and he was hitting on her pretty blatantly, Epstein was. Mm-hmm. And Trump said,
not here.
Hey, hit the highway.
Yep.
Pal. Jack. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about coming up on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. I want to thank everybody because the Bob Rose Golf Scramble is full. We have all the golfers all lined up. This is Friday, April 4th at Hawkstone Golf and Country Club. We could use some volunteers, though. So if you have Friday, April 4th available and you'd like to volunteer, this would help the cause for the Arc of Alachua County and all their great work for the developmentally disabled. And we'd love to hear from you. Thanks to Southeast Car Agency for providing a vehicle for the hole-in-one prize and a luxury vacation with Cruise Planners and Brandon Kuttner. So you can go to arcalachua.org or call Mark Johnson directly if you can volunteer that day. Call 352-246-3516. Thanks for making it another awesome, successful event. And it's for the Arc of Alachua County, which I am proud to be associated with. So Gene Hackman at 95 died. Not a huge story. You're 95. It's day by day, if we're being fair. But his 63-year-old wife also was found in the home dead, and along with their dog. Now, they initially said in New Mexico, the police there, no foul play, at least initially. But they are investigating, of course, because, yes, that would be an oddity. They haven't released information, and when it's something like this, they generally don't release information for fear of it being premature, or if there is foul play suspected, you don't want to give maybe the bad guys a heads up.
Right.
So there's lots of reasons. And that will be, you know, kind of interesting to find out what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
But another person in the acting world has passed away, Michelle Trachtenberg. Okay, and what was it, Gossip Girl,
right,
that she was one of the stars of, and, well,
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Exactly, yeah.
But so, she was young. She was not 95.
No, she was like 39, I want to say. And they believe she underwent a liver transplant within the last year. According to sources, it's believed maybe that her body may have rejected it. That could be part of the cause of death. They haven't fully released all of that yet. But, yeah, 39. And, can't just assume because we've advanced so much in science that everything's 100%. There's always going to be risks related to surgery and especially organ transplants and the body attempting to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell on Wednesday sent a memo to the entire department ordering the removal of all official online content promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion in line with President Donald Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's priorities. The memo's titled Digital Content Refresh. Parnell instructed all senior Pentagon leaders, combatant commanders, defense agency and field activity directors to remove Department of Defense news and feature articles, photos, and videos promoting DEI. Yes, stick to the mission.
Yep.
Stick to the mission. Best trained fighting force on the globe.
There's a great video that I just saw yesterday that Hegseth put out. It's only a few minutes long. I don't know, 7-8 minutes or so, maybe a little longer. It is worth watching. He basically looks to the camera and talks to the American people about what Trump's vision is for our military, what military is for, what it's not about, what the money is going to be going for, and about transparency. You might want to check it out if you are, if you're just coming on to be a fan of his, or you just kind of want to know what's going on with our military. It's worth looking at. It's on YouTube.
Pete Hegseth.
Yes.
Right.
I like this guy. He's awesome.
I feel the same way. So the spokesperson, Parnell, he said, if an organization believes an exception or extension is necessary, it has to submit a detailed justification to his office by March 5. Over the past decade, but especially during the Obama and Biden administrations, the DOD and a number of official DOD social media accounts had promoted identity months such as Pride Month, Black History Month, Asian American and Pacific Island Heritage Month, and Hispanic Heritage Month. However, the Trump Pentagon has brought back a focus on warfighting skills, merit,
good,
and standards in the U.S. military, rather than a focus on race or gender. Will that make our fighting forces better, more formidable? Of course it will. That is the mission. Hegseth, in his memo banning identity months at the Pentagon, that was issued last month, it encouraged military installations, units, and offices to celebrate the valor and success of military heroes of all races, genders, and backgrounds as we restore our warrior culture and ethos.
I like that.
And he knows something about it because he had boots on the ground. He was deployed. He saw a combat action.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think makes him perfect for the job.
I love that you still see him out there working out with troops. I mean, when's the last time you saw somebody in that position, in that kind of shape, that could still work out with the troops?
I'll tell you who was in good shape was David Petraeus, the general.
Yes.
Yeah. He was into running and stuff like that. He was very physically fit. But yeah, to be in the civilian position that Pete Hegseth is in.
Yes.
Yeah, you never see this guy.
No.
No. No. Last time they run a race was to the buffet.
Yeah. A couple of generals look like they might have been in that race. Yeah.
8:56 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The 9 o'clock stretch is right around the corner. More headlines, more information that we will share with you right here on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thursday.